Sit down, get your pen, Bob, and get ready. You have to know that the supernatural is available to you. You have to know that. You have to know that. If you don't know that, your potentials will never be fulfilled. And we have enough of that already. So as a student, I want you to know you have to know that the impossible is available to you to make possible. There is no limitation in ministry. There is no room for insufficiency or inadequacies in ministry. Because of God's love, Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Three things I want you to remember that the church have not followed closely because they have not known. There's a scripture hidden in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. A real powerful scripture, has a whole lot to do with understanding the supernatural, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So resurrection is an important part of the supernatural. The second thing is the Holy Spirit. After the resurrection, Jesus sent forth the Holy Spirit. That another indicator, another part you have to understand the function in the supernatural. The resurrection, you have to pray about that power so you can understand that power. The difference between that power and all the other one was almost like restitution. It wasn't resurrection because they had to die again. And then when Lazarus came out of the grave, he had grave clothes on him and napping still on his face and all that. But when Jesus came up, they found the napping full and the clothes was taken off and he walked out. And that's the difference in a person operating in the supernatural and a person just trying to operate in the supernatural. Okay. All right. So now you have these three things. You have the resurrection. And the last one is going to be shocking to you because it has not been emphasized enough. But I'm going to show you where to put the emphasis on it. From this night forward, you'll have the great emphasis that it should have. The resurrection. We're talking about the supernatural now. The resurrection, the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the indwelling spirit. That's for character. That's to produce fruit. And then you got the spirit upon, that's for power, for ministry. Then you have another aspect of the spirit, being filled or filling of the spirit or the fullness of the spirit. That is not a one-time thing. Then you have the outpouring of the Spirit. You can pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, that the Spirit come for a specific task, a specific meeting, a specific time in your ministry, the outpouring of the Spirit. And then we dare not talk about the Spirit without looking at Romans 8:14. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the altar who have been appointed over the supernatural. Supernatural cannot function without the Holy Spirit. All right, now, so the resurrection, the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another one that has been so programmed by society and religion and tradition and theology and psychology and science and the doctrine of men. It is not known as it should be known, the church. See, Ephesians 1 explained that. It talks about the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, we may know what? Three things. The hope of his calling, number one. See, that's another one, hope of his calling. Secondly, the inheritance of the saint. But then the third one, take us into a definition of Philippians 3:10. That we might know the power of his resurrection, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's the third one in Ephesians 1. I'll say to one of my classes, after Paul explained it, I mean, in Ephesians 1 and 3, maybe to my church I said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that verse is telling us we already has it. We already have it. But then Paul saw that his revelation was so strong from that first to the 16th verse in that first chapter. He talked about the blood of Jesus. He talked about being adopted. And he said, now I must stop and pray that you can understand what I'm talking about. If you look at it, that prayer, that from the 17 on to the end, it talked about Jesus being the head, but we being the body. So the head can't have what the body don't have. So Jesus' ministry was introducing the body to how the body should live. But it cannot be done without a faithful and some understanding of. Notice how I say that. Faithful and some understanding of, because it's infinitum. I mean, you never run out. It's just of the supernatural. But you got to taste it. And you have to have faith for it. You have to be willing to move out and trust in the Holy Spirit to help you. Sometimes, you know, when Peter walked on the water, that's what it's all about. It's going out there, and I don't know whether you can stay up or not. You know you can't stay up on your own, but you go out there anyway. And that's the only way you're going to ever operate in the supernatural. You're not going to operate in the supernatural with your ABCs, your ABCs outline. Your 1, 2, 3, 4 outline not going to work in the supernatural. Okay? So and remember, the indwelling spirit came in you when you were born again. But now if you're saying you have a calling on your life, those three things, the hope of our calling and the inheritance, then Ephesians 1, I want you to read that prayer. And you need to pray that prayer sometime. It will be a great help to you. Righteousness is a place that God has positioned us. It's a supernatural position. The righteousness of God is a supernatural position. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you know, it talks about the righteousness of God in right standing. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, you remember what he said? Who know what he said in Matthew 6:33? What he said? And what? Right, see, righteousness is a position. Righteousness released a divine right not to be known. Yes, sir. You follow what I'm saying? Yes, sir. See, you're not going to enjoy ministry until you get into it. Right. Until you recognize that it's not the status quo that the average church and the average minister portray. Yes, sir. It's exciting. There's an expectation there, that God will show you something else or use you in another way. You see, you know Romans 8:28 has something to do with it. All things work together for good for them that love God who are called according to his purpose. See, and God's purpose cannot be fulfilled without men and women who know how, listen to me, to yield to the supernatural. Actually, the only thing natural about ministry is you and me. But everything else is supernatural. And so God wants to use us as a vessel. Class, in order to rehearse or go over some things, is important. I see how important it is. So know you're placed in a supernatural position. Say, I'm placed in a supernatural position.
I'm placed in a supernatural position.
That means that the supernatural can function through you personally. But your own personal life, things you're dealing with. If you don't help your personally, you're sure not going to be able to help nobody in ministry. If it ain't working in your life, don't be come telling me about what it can do for me. Because I don't trust you. Your life lying to me. Now, here's a statement that bear repeating. If you take away the supernatural, You have taken away God. Not I got on there just about. No, you have taken away God. See, God is a supernatural God. If you take away the supernatural, and what have happened at large, percentage-wise, the supernatural had been replaced by seeker-sensitive ministries appeasing people to increase number and budget. Now, here's a shocking scripture. Somebody's going to help me find it. Search the scripture in them you think you have life. That John 5:30? John 5:39. Turn there, because this is almost an insult. See, because I'm about to make a statement that will put you on the verge of walking and understanding the supernatural. Yes, see, most Christians know scripture. Right. Let me tell you, I say this, listen. There's the written Bible and there's the hidden Bible. Yes, most people read in the written Bible. And then the Bible is designed not to talk to Jacob for you, to talk to you about Jacob, to talk to you about you. Or Isaac, or Daniel, or David. You must see yourself there. Yes, sir. You see, we're so busy looking at these characters, we can't see our character. Yes, and so when you read the scriptures, every day, yes, look for yourself. Yes, sir. What is the scripture saying to me? Yes, sir. Am I a Pharaoh? Yes. See, not just the good part. Yes. Am I a Judas? Am I Paul or Peter? Who attribute I'm working in here? See, and then you'll find yourself growing in the things of God. But there's a scripture here. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they which testify of me. Now, eternal life can throw you there because abundant life or functioning properly in the things of God. People think they can take the scriptures and do anything. But you know, the Bible says, and you need to footnote this. I'll go over this over and over, John 6:63. Because there's a divine combination in John 6:63 that produces the supernatural. Spirit and life. Spirit and life. The words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. And so there's a quickening factor that always run current with the supernatural. There's a quickening factor that making something that can't live, make it resurrect, make it come alive. Yeah, yeah. The supernatural has the ability to do that, because whenever you operate in the supernatural, you're operating in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. Yes, doing the impossible. Doing the unthinkable. All right? Yes, so I make this statement that will shake up theologians and shake up churches. The scriptures by themselves will not get it done. If that was so, we'll have it all done. Because they got so many, y'all, I let one of y'all talk, y'all got so many scriptures memorized up in here. We got scripture. I'm telling you, if we pause before the Holy Spirit and let him call in to remember how many scriptures we'd have memorized, we'll be here all night long. You know that's the truth. So we got a whole lot of scriptures. We got a whole lot of scripture teaching, a whole lot of scripture preaching, a whole lot of scripture reading, whole lot of scripture memorizing, but the job still is not being done, because the average church and the average minister is void of the working of the supernatural. Yes, sir. We are not dealing with a natural devil. What? The devil read the Bible too. He quoted it. You remember he quoted it to Jesus in the temptation? Then we said to you, the supernatural must be accessed. It will not jump in your lap because you say you're a child of God and you're speaking tongues. And so what we're doing here, we're training you how to access the supernatural, how to agree with the supernatural, how to activate the supernatural, how to allow something different to happen. These are some of the things I talked to you about. How to allow him to do something out of the ordinary through you, to you, and for you. You want me to say that again? How much you gonna give me? How to allow him to do something out of the ordinary, through you, to you, and for you. Now, class, according to Ephesians 3:12, that boldness, access, and confidence, you must have a certain boldness to operate in the supernatural. What I said? You remember Paul praying in Ephesians 6 after he talked about he prayed for boldness. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, I pray for boldness all the time. Boldness. You're going to have boldness because people will stop you. Now, this is, I'm repeating some things, but I'm not in a hurry. I want you to get this. The best part of ministers in church is impotent when it comes down to the supernatural. Yes, sir. Impotent means you can't produce. Yes, sir. You know, I talked to you about that man laying at that porch. He was impotent. Huh? So I want to just turn to Ephesians now, chapter 3. I went over some reviews my secretary has laid out for me. The role of the prophet and the apostle today, or the apostle and the prophet today, is one of the missing ingredient or link of the supernatural. And I'll show you why. And that's why you see in Ephesians 3:3-5, you're looking at Ephesians 3:3, Ephesians 3:3-5. Put that in your note. And put Ephesians 4:11, I think, through 16. Because that's the bulk of the ministry. That's the bulk of what need to be done. And what have happened, class, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
What have happened, you see, ministry starts from up here. You got these two scriptures, Hosea 4:6 and Isaiah 5:13 tell us where the ball been dropped at. It's really not the people. It's really not the congregation. Now, there's a stagnation in the congregation when the real thing come along because they have learned so many wrong things. That when the truth come along, they fight us, boy. They say, well, wait now, I'm going to stay on my base now. I'm balanced. No, to operate in the supernatural, you're going to have to be a little unbalanced in your natural self and trying to figure everything out and trying to have your ABC scriptures. All right? So here we find out, now in these scriptures, take me to Ephesians 3:3. I want to read these scriptures because they're so... how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, keep going, fourth verse, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ, keep going, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now what? Revealed unto his what? And what? What? By what? All right, now, what's left out? The pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher.
Yes, sir.
I know that if he wanted to say that, he'd have put all five of them in there. I know that. I know that's right. If the Holy Spirit wanted to say all five, he would have said all five. I don't know where your revelation is coming from. If the Holy Spirit wanted to say all five, he would have said all five. Any team in this world system that function properly has ranks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Any tennis player, and I don't know much about tennis, but has to know something about position.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
a position in. If that shortstop go out in left field and stand in left field, he's a dummy. He's a shortstop. And that's where most of the ball going. He out there in left field standing with the left field player. See, so the church has not been positioned properly for the supernatural to function properly. Sick, broke, divorced, and mad. And the car about to run out of gas. Good people really love God, but they're challenged to do something and they don't know how to do it. They're challenged to have something by affirmation and declaration and decree, but they really don't know what they're doing because they haven't been taught the inner forces that make these things happen. The transition, we talked about the transition from faith to anointing to glory. Faith is the basis. You've got to have faith. Then there's an anointing. 1 John 2:27 that teaches you all things. You need no man to teach you. That anointing is there, you know. The anointing is the ability of God to do things supernaturally. But then the glory is a visitation from heaven that God himself shows up. Now you have to know how to cooperate. You know, say something dumb. That's what the Lord says. Say something dumb. So you look stupid, not look good. You know, you don't catch me. See, sometimes that's the way it is, but you give him the glory. You got to give him the glory, all right? All right, now, that's the fifth verse. But you know the angel would not. That's the fifth verse, right? All right, watch it. In other ages, now make a note of Ephesians 2:20. Let's look at Ephesians 2:20 a minute. I'm teaching this class. You can't teach this everywhere because ministers' gifts will get upset. Yeah. Yeah. I was one of them. Don't tell me that. I knew what I'm doing. And I built up on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But notice he put the apostle and prophet there with him. Because he got him in a certain class that they can pass things on to the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. That the teacher, pastor, and evangelist become apostolic and prophetic. All right? Now here's the role of the prophet and the apostle today, and according to Ephesians 3:3-5, listen, class, revelation and the supernatural diminishes in the church of Jesus Christ when the two offices are discarded, when they're not understood. And then, the apostle really not the head, he's the foundation for you to walk on. To learn how to tread on holy ground. We'll see that a little later. These are the two offices of the fivefold spiritual ministry given the church to which God has trusted, revealed knowledge to be shared with his people. Now, notice the condition of the church is because almost praying in tongues. The condition of the church. Go to Ephesians 4:11. Where the church should be and where the church is. All right, maybe we'll look at it too. All right, let me see. All right, 4:11. All right, let me see. Now, all of this class, I'm trying to bring an introduction of the supernatural, how to function it, how to access it, how to rely on it. in the ministerial rank, you're not going to find it in a whole lot of places right now until I can get these apostles, apostolic pastors and people trained in this area that they'll be functioning in their various ministries. We're over 80-something churches. We're trying to get them functioning in this apostolic. Then you know, some people call themselves stealing it. You know, they kind of act like it. And so that'd be all right, though. That's all right. You know, Jesus says, if they're not against us, they're with us. Go ahead on. But we've got to get it to spread, you see. Sad to say, very little. I've been in some of the biggest churches in the world. Very little real apostolic and prophetic ministry have been passed down to a congregation or to a group like you being taught under these apostolic anointing in this school. If you pay attention, you're going to come out well. Yes, and you're going to know how to function. You're going to know how to, instead of manipulate, you'll be able to manifest. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of manipulation going on to make people think you're spiritual. Now, so I think this is one of the most, I need to go back to look at this before I show you this. Go back to Ephesians 1. Go back to Ephesians 1. And he's talking about dealing with the prayer above all principality, verse 21. And power and might and dominion, and every name that name not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. But notice he said, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. You see that? Which is his body, the fullness of him that fitteth all in all. So the church is a place where the supernatural should be functioning, where the members who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world should be stopping decay and darkness. See, salt preserve. And light caused darkness to flee. All right? But this had not been available to us from Hosea 4:6 and Isaiah 5:13 from the pulpit. And I think the pulpit disorder is the ranks disorder. Okay? Good preaching don't mean these guys, they practice preaching and man, they can preach. Man, God can say up some words. I was watching the boy the other day, he saying up some words. Wasn't nothing meaning nothing, but he just saying it. He said like he meant it, boy. And he thought he was preaching, man. I said, oh my God. Here in Ephesians 4, when you go to the 11th verse, it's so powerful. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Notice he got them first again. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, a lot of pastors and teachers, when LTMA, I had a bunch of them say, they were apostles. I said, hold up, let's find out if you're an apostle. Give me some evidence. Let's find some evidence here. What you done? How many people you raised from the dead? So I just wanted to stop them. Maybe they do have that calling on them, but I got to train them so they can go out right. We don't need no more name. We need somebody to know what they're doing, man. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, so the 11th verse says, I want you to get this. And he gave some apostles. He didn't say all apostles. And some prophets. He didn't say all. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, notice what they were for. But if they malfunction, if verse 11 malfunctioning, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are going to malfunction. And it is. This very day. So the 12th verse says, for the perfecting, maturing, completing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. In verse 12, the supernatural must be in that verse. Train them to operate in the supernatural. Train them to operate in the spirit. God is a spirit. There's no supernatural in the flesh, in the brain, in the mind. So the suffering and the separation from our inheritance is because these Satan has divided the fivefold ministry gift from their purposes and connection to one another. You follow me? And so the power have been diminished. The purpose has been diminished. The presence has been diminished. We come to bring that back. You'll be a generation to bring that back. To understand there are ranked in the fivefold ministry gift, and everybody need to get in their place. All right? Now look what we're missing. Look what we're missing. 12 verse. 12 verse. No, 12 verse. 12 verse. 13 verse. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's why we can't come. The knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we're not there. Until a perfect man. That's why we're not there. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is doing it just like Christ did it. Notice verse 14. Oh, Lord. This is the church right here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby lying wait to deceive. But if they're done right, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplies according to. Why pull my leg, tell my ear I won't take your place? And my leg can't hear nothing. I've been running every red light and been running everywhere I can hear, and ain't heard that truck coming, I'll be dead. Because my ears can't, my leg can't hear nothing. Just get back in your place and let me walk on you. And you see what I'm saying? That's what we're dealing with. That's the catastrophe. Not bad people. Not ungodly people like preachers preach at them. Your ungodly thing, come back to the Lord and get your grace back. Man, I ain't gonna get no grace back. I got my grace. You teach me something, I know how to use this grace. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Grace make gravy, boy. Yeah. See? And I'm guilty because I didn't know no better. I came through the Baptist church and I'm the Catholic boy through the Baptist church. So I preach hell and fire and brimstone because there ain't nothing else to preach. keep them scared. Now let's look at the apostle for a few minutes. The apostle lays down solid biblical foundations. Don't you forget that. The apostle lay down solid. You remember Ephesians 2:20, right? The apostle also, number two, teach and strengthen believers. Number three, the apostle give fresh revelation of the ways in which God is working presently. Yes, now, when I found this thing out, I went to reading the Bible again. And a lot of things we accepted as the Lord was talking to us, he was talking to the apostle. Yeah. So the apostle can chew it up and bring it to you. Yeah. We don't do that no more. When I was a little boy, mama and them chew that stuff up and take it out of their mouth and put in yours. Y'all so fancy now, y'all. Prophets express what God is saying and doing at the moment. Two scriptures. Amos 3:7, Psalm 103, verse 7. Those two scriptures will inform you that God revealed things to his prophets. Not only do they tell you what God doing at the moment, but they also seek and speak of the future and of the mysteries of God, the prophet. You still with me? I'm about to go further. Now, you know, I let the church use the word breakthrough. They've been using it so long, so I'm going to use it here. But, you know, I saw something beyond breakthrough. Beyond breakthrough, breakthrough. We've been having breakthrough. Man, I can't help it. The Lord reveal a thing.
Yeah, right.
We've been trying to get a breakthrough since Jesus left. He almost ready to come back now. The ministries of the apostle and prophet are those of breakthrough, spiritual warfare, and deliverance. Now, we've got in all three of these too much. And the reason we almost made our opponent equal. Because of not knowing how to function in the supernatural, we're trying to do everything by prayer. Prayer is supernatural. It brings us in the ability of God that God can speak to us and show us something and help us do something out of the ordinary. So I ain't for all this warfare stuff. Warfare, just one. The war is really won already. I want Satan to know, I know no matter what come up, I know he defeated. He has sparred principality and power, spirit, and made a show out of him. And so you can't act like he equal with you. Now always trying to say, I mean, a warfare, girl. Get out the warfare. Get out the warfare and go and take authority. Behold, I give you power. Tread upon serpent and scorpion. The power of the enemy, Luke 10:19, shall do you no harm. What do you think Jesus said? All power is in my hand. All right. You have to dismantle that power that's trying to come against you from the second heaven. They are responsible for releasing the supernatural power of God in the church. The apostle and the prophet. But sadly to say today, they have been replaced, you know, I told you about that, by administrators. I've had to deal with some of my sons. They tell me what the administrator said. I said, I don't care what the administrator said. Fire the administrator. An administrator, when the church shouldn't have no financial deficit, but when the administrator, the first person salary she won't cut is the pastor, fire her. Because she should have volunteered to take a cut herself. Why shouldn't she say, I'll take a cut? Poor, broke pastors need their money. I say it that way because they treat them like a bastard. That's why. How you going to be broke and lead me? Tell me about your great God. That ain't God's plan. All of God's men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them are rich. God made them all rich. David with a slingshot. God made him rich. Shoot. I don't want no broke pastor preaching to me anyway. That's just like a real estate man trying to sell me real estate and he ain't got none himself. Oh, Lord have mercy. So, they say today that, see, this church is run by administrators because they're not administrating. The supernatural. It's a business. See? It's an organization. My goodness. But sadly said today, they have been replaced by administrators who has an intellectual education but lack the apostolic and prophetic mindset. Now, I collide with them when I go to different places. Administrators. You know, and this office is something because, you know, you sound like you're not talking nice sometimes, but you don't have time to mess with it. Like Elijah, no, I'm trying to say, Lord, I want more compassion. You know, Lord just said, you know, I had a guy working on my house today, and they got a little loud. They were loud, and one man went and told him, I know he ain't tell me nothing. I said, y'all run your mouth too much. I mean, he could have been said nicer, but that apostolic was on me. I ain't had time to be on that normal point. Well, you understand? You said, man, God, dog. But just the way it come out. So this prophetic and apostolic mindset, write that down. belong to you. See. Now listen. By nature, apostles have plans, P-L-A-N-S, designs, and projects from God that edifies the church and the kingdom and impact their surrounding community. Okay? Design, project, and plan. That apostle. See, a lot of times we're not getting this. We're getting a pastor who loves his flock. Always didn't love my flock. You know? And I don't know how long I've been working on the cutting edge of these other offices, because I stand in both offices, the apostolic and the prophetic. Okay? But I didn't know. All I knew, I was a little different. I was a little more radical. They call me radical. You know? Because when I ask for ranch dressing, you can't bring me 1,000 olive. I just don't go for it. I said, I didn't know what I asked you for. You know, he said, calm down. I said, I didn't ask for that. Because I think people need to know. So it just, and so people say, man, God, dog. He could have been more nice. I ain't got enough time to be nice. I'm trying to train you to promote you. If you bring a person what they ask for, you'll get promoted.
Yeah, yeah.
God, no. Apostles have been given the, write this down, spiritual map that will guide us, showing us the way to accomplish things.
Yes, sir.
I remember preaching with my friend Creflo Dowell, and we were just a preacher, and we come up on this sweatless anointing.
Yes, sir.
Write that down, sweatless anointing.
Yeah.
Jesus said, my yoke is easy. So we would preach. We would preach. We talk about the sweatless anointing. In other words, wasn't hard. Yield to the Holy Ghost. And then 1 Corinthians 3:10, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Put that in your note. Apostles are wise master builders of the kingdom. And their ears are centered on bringing the revelation of God to earth. I'm going to read that again. 1 Corinthians 3:10, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Apostles are wise builders of the kingdom, master builders, and their ears are centered on bringing the revelation of God to earth. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, you don't want this to happen to you. Next thing I'm about to read, you do not want this to happen to you. It says, lead us without revelation or fresh knowledge from God. For that ministry will become irrelevant. And we got a lot of irrelevancy going on right now in the body of Christ. So he said, this is the reason God is restoring the ministry of the apostle and prophet. Now we write Hosea 4:6 and Isaiah 5:13. The enemy will destroy you in any area where you lack knowledge because these offices are not in place. See, so the whole church, what I'm saying, Claire, for centuries now we've been going through this not in place aspect. We've come with toddlers without evidence. Just because you're over 5,000 people, that don't make you an apostle. And make you somebody over 5,000 people. What are you putting out? See. Look how we hit the body of Christ. Apostolic and prophetic, money coming. 20 years ago. It's still running like it was yesterday. Still directing people live. We got people coming into the millions as we sit here tonight because of that prophetic word. People have left their churches in other states, just left it. Said, no, I can't stay here no more. Because the preacher get up and preach about me. Still to preach about Jesus Christ. They said, No, he didn't. I done learned so much from this man. This is my last Sunday. Let me tell you how big it is. The church needed so much, the payroll gone bad. They're trying to call her back up. She no answer. I'm gone. And sought by apostle.
Yes. Come on, sir.
Yes, sir.
Trying to be deep. Listen, class, lack of revelation leads to destruction. All right, I'm going to tell you four or five things under that. Lack of revelation lead to destruction. Now, Lord, can I say this? The church today at large is on a destructive path. The right kind of power is not available. And that's why apostolically I'm going to churches now and preach something beside money. I'm going to his church and preach an apostolic message. We just did it in Richmond, Virginia. You see that a deposit can be made. But the respect and the honor have to be there by the pastor. And that pastor have to be to put that respect and honor in his people. And his people can see how that pastor getting blessed. Everything changing in his life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, write it down, the people perish. Where there's no word from God, people are uncontrolled. You see, I lay down Kosa Mandelesha. Sometime I always had laid down guidelines in the church. I didn't know. I didn't have nobody teaching them about the apostle and the prophet. So I was just a pastor and a teacher, you know. But I always tried to lay down some groundwork in the church. But now I see why the people was suffering so badly trying to get it done. They didn't know what I was trying to do. Right. Now I got people under me now, no. I got some members don't know yet, but I got people now that know what the Lord is doing. Uncontrolled people are going to get in trouble.
Right.
It says, without prophecy, the people become demoralized. Now, you know, we got a lot of immorality in the church.
Yes,
I can't hear y'all.
Yes,
y'all know got a lot of sin in the church, right?
Yes,
huh? A lot of sin. All kind of things, from the pulpit on down. I don't really like to talk about it, but it's true. I always tell these men here with me, these women with me, they got to be holy men and women of God. I don't even want them nowhere around me. And then I tell them, I'll catch you. You can get away for a few years, but I will catch you. Yeah. All right. Now, let's go back to this harmonious condition. Agreeable surrounding, and the best of everything. Some of y'all won't even write that down. Y'all just as sad as a sack of salt that left the factory and they call you back. Come on, get that down. Harmonious condition. Agreeable surrounding. Just sitting here like I'm a Sunday school teacher or something. Just telling you not respected. No, I'm trying to tell you stuff that you know. Harmonious condition. Agreeable surrounding, and the best of everything. Now, you won't jump to the best of everything. You can't go there. And the harmonious condition happened within.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Whatever happened within will happen without.
Uh-huh.
Inner man.
Yes, sir.
Hidden man of the heart.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now. And, you know, I might come in and teach. My spirit of the Father taught the same lesson. I might come teach the same lesson the rest of the semester. You know, I just go over it, you know, because it's so. Creating the atmosphere for worship, a worship, bring his presence. All right? And that's one of the greatest obstacles to seeing a demonstration of the supernatural power of God. The atmosphere is not created. People just want to sing now. They just want to sing and play. Then you got to be anointed. Did you pray? You see what I'm saying? Them two boys, they plug the guitar, they do, they're good, but they got to have an anointing for this.
Yes,
it's something in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause things to happen.
Yes, sir. Come on, Apostle.
Yes, sir.
If music alone causes to happen, something wrong. So when the obstacles is there and the worship is not right, there does not exist a spiritual atmosphere for the glory of his presence. See, when people are not worshiping God in spirit and truth on a continual basis, they're not able to create the environment to bring his presence. So what show up? Emotion, tears, running and crying. Because if you don't get nothing, he sure wasn't here. God always comes to bring a package. I could stop right here and go to worshiping God. And the glory of falling here, we'd be all there crying and under the seat. Everywhere. Get the prayer. Oh, yeah. Taking our shoes off, pulling our wigs off. We'd be doing all kind of stuff up here. Because the Spirit of God comes. See, I feel His presence now. Just talking about it. See, I can get in God's presence just like that. Just like that. Just like that, his presence will come. Right now, his presence has come on, just like that. That's why he told me to open this school. Not so much what we teach, but what you can obtain by his manifestation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Wow. See? A lot of times, my daddy wanted to kill some of the dogs who barked and it wasn't no rabbit. Just barking. When a dog bark, a good rabbit dog bark, it got to be a rabbit.
Right.
Don't just be barking because you smell something.
Yeah, right.
You can't shoot nothing smell.
Yeah.
Just smell. You can't shoot a sand.
Yeah.
So you got stuff that look like it's worship, but it's really not worship.
Right.
There ain't no rabbit there. When people are not worshiping God in spirit and truth on a continued basis, they're not able to create the environment to bring his presence. 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 He's not coming in any kind of environment. He has to be invited. You have to give him an invitation before he give you a visitation. He has to know you really want him. More than anything else. More than them nice shoes you got on or the car you drove you in. He need to know you want him more than to get what you need or get what you want. See? I tell men, you know, they tell me, man, they think I'm a money lover. They think, you know, I got a lot of nice things, you know. Man, say, man, I don't know. Man, I said, you don't love God no more than I love him. Tell you that right now. God is the love of my life, boy. You better get up on the road, Jeff. And I know who God is. You see, that's the place you got to get into. You got to know pushing it for yourself. What is praise? And that's the most beautiful story in 2 Samuel. Chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, of David bringing in the Ark of the Covenant and had a silk garment on and almost danced that thing off. I mean, he was the king, but he was dancing and praising God. And sometimes you got family members are eluded from praise. They just don't understand what you're doing. Thank God you give me a good wife and my children and everybody around me understand. Because I'm most of the time out of it.
Yes, sir.
You find me on the porch praying and rocking and falling like a drunk man.
Yeah. Yeah,
sometimes that people ready for you to be really drunk from liquor than be drunk on God, you know. And this is what happened here. This man praising God. He made a proclamation of the wonderful works of God. And he's dancing. and jumping and shouting.
Come on.
And he went with that anointing to his house to bless his wife and his household, and she couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
She said he made her ashamed.
Yeah.
Give me Hebrews 13, 15. Let's look at that a minute. Hebrews 13, 15. I want you to read that story. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often?
Contingent.
That is the fruit of our lip, giving thanks to his name. Now, Mary, in the first chapter of Luke, did something. She said, oh, my soul, magnify the Lord. And she said, my spirit rejoices. See. Let the Lord be magnified. How many times you ever said that? How many times you ever said that? Class, we would tell the truth of men. No, some of them ain't said it at all. They never said it. Never said it. Never said it. I want you to get that on your lips into the day. Let the Lord be magnified. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a scripture. Psalm 35, 27. At the end, you're going to shout. See, you favor his righteous cause. Let them say, let them shout, let the Lord be magnified. I have pleasure in the prosperity of your servant. Every sacrifice implies death. Jesus kept trying to kill us. Jesus said, you got to die. Deny yourself. You know, die. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Remember Galatians 2:20? So the victim for sacrifice in praise is flesh or the ego. They got to die. That's why God don't choose a lot of smart folks to do nothing. Because he's going to have to work on them so long to get the ego off of them. They think they're doing it. Lord God, he ain't had no problem out of me. I had a street ego, but I ain't had no intellectual ego, Lord Jesus. What is worship? Did we go over that? Huh? What did we say it was then? Tell me the first one, what I said it was. We went over it, you got your notes, what I said it was. I was supposed to call on three or four of y'all anyway. What? The revelation of God, that's right. What else? What? No, tell me the whole thing, you got the whole thing? All right, now, what's the difference, class, between image and likeness? You're made in his image and his likeness, right? What's the difference? Image is on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Likeness is on the outside.
Yes, sir.
See, I know you thought it was on the outside. No, his image is in your spirit. Then that image produced the God man Jesus in you and likeness. All right. What else I said? It's more than a decoration. She told me two. What else? What else I said about it? Worship.
A sincere attitude of humility, reverence and respect. Fear of the Lord in our worship.
Ho, she's going all the way. Go, shut down, girl. You go. It's a sincere attitude of humility, reverence, and respect. Now, that's not going to come without intimacy. It's not going to come without intercourse with the Lord. Romance with the Lord, all right? And then she went on to talk about, and the fear of the Lord, that's what you said, daughter, and the fear of the Lord, that's reverential fear. Somebody tell me another one now. Oh, I told it to you. Yes, ma'am.
In our worship, Jesus must be crowned.
All right. In our worship, Jesus must be crowned. And what else he said about him? He must what? What?
Occupy the throne of our lives.
occupy the throne of our lives. You know what that means, right? What you got?
The focus is on the person of God, and it is God's answer to our praise, be found by him and brings the glory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You got a gift in that area, girl. Fine tune it. Enemy will fight you all kind of ways to keep you from functioning it. Just calm down and fine tune it, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you to function in it. You got me? All right. In this worship, you can express it in a physical posture, bowing, kneeling, or falling prostrate before God. So we went through that, right? Y'all getting mighty quiet. Y'all writing it like y'all acting like we ain't never been through it. We've been through that or what? Oh, Jesus. One girl said, no, I ain't never heard that. The level of worship in a church determines the level of revelation,
yes,
and manifestation of the glory of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why you just can't get any praise leader. Let them do what they won't do.
Right.
Musicians do what they won't do. Come in when they get ready. Choir members don't come to practice. Mad because they can't sing. They want a mic. Can't sing. Want a mic. Your background. Everybody don't supposed to have the mic. Get in the background, wake your lip, act like you're doing something. You can't sing. Shoot. You want the mic, man. You're going to run all the spirit out of you. God don't, you got to be able to sing, man. Get hot about your spot. You ain't got no spot. So I told you the difference between praise and worship. Praise focused on proclaiming the works of God. Worship focused on the person of God. We told you that, right? Huh? All right, I'm going to go over the rest because some of them bob their head different ways. Praise is initiated by us. Worship is God's answer to our prayer. To praise is to seek God, right? To worship is what? Be found by him. Praise increases the anointing, right? But worship? All right. Praise is like building a house for God, right? Worship? In praise, we talk about God, right? What happened in worship? Oh, what? No. In praise, we talk about God. In worship, we speak to God and he answers us. In praise, we are keenly aware of God's love and greatness. In worship, what? We are keenly aware of our holiness. In worship, we are keenly aware of his holiness. Right? Praise is the parade of the king. What worship is. Coordination. All right, class, I'm going to talk to you a few more minutes. Y'all know I got a test next week. My secretary will take care of y'all. She's going to give y'all something to look at. Y'all might be mighty happy. Yes, sir. You give them anything to work with yet, Barbara? They don't have nothing to work with, huh? You didn't give the class nothing to look at or nothing, huh? No. It don't be no hard test. They just read your notes. That's all they got to read their notes, right? So I ain't got no notes. Well, you tough out. you better have some notes. You better call somebody tonight. Next class said we're going to take up the difference between the anointing and the glory. Did we go over that some too? I don't know what I taught. I teach so many people. Teach so many class. The difference. Well, you need to go over it again. The difference between the anointing and the glory. The anointing is for the earth, can operate only in our world. Glory testifies the power of the coming age because it's the atmosphere of heaven. I don't think we went over that. Huh? No. So we did because, see, the faith, the anointing, and glory are three of the starters of the supernatural. You need all three of them working. All right? That's all I'm going to do tonight.